Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Pump day?
Yes, it is. Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Good morning, Mark Schlereth.
Well, good morning to you, Michael. How are you, buddy?
I am good. Stayed up to watch the end of that Phoenix game. Did you see the finish?
I did not see the finish.
So down one and inbounding the ball with 0.9 seconds left, a perfectly executed play, alley-oop to DeAndre Ayton for a dunk with basically no time left on the clock. Phoenix wins. Second straight win without Chris Paul. They're up 2-0. And I got to say, I like the Suns. And it makes losing, the Nuggets losing to them, feel a heck of a lot better. Because I like the way they play. I like this team.
Oh, you gotta love the Suns. You gotta love the way they. I told you this last week, I think it was last week, that they just reminded me of going and watching the Golden State Warriors play when they were winning championships. Just the togetherness they have, their willingness to get excited about making an assist, and then on top of that, the defense that they play is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and I got some help from Paul George, who gagged 2 free throws at the end of the game that certainly could have made a huge difference. Meanwhile, as good as I'm feeling about the Nuggets losing to Phoenix, I'm feeling that much worse about the Avs losing to Vegas. They lost again. They're up against it. Montreal beat them again. It's 3-2. 3-2, well, 3-2 Les Habitants.
That's where the Vegas Knights come to play. Well, hey, listen. Well,
Soccer Blue, what's happening here?
We're going to beat you in this hockey game. I don't know, maybe it's the overall wear and tear on the Vegas Knights, doing the 7-game where they had to come back and fight through to Minnesota, they put it through. What was it? 4-2.
Yeah. So 6 games.
4 straight.
Yeah. But still 6 games.
Still 6 games.
I think they got so geared up to play the Avs. They fell behind 2-0, and they put so much in coming back to win, and everybody believed, hey, whoever wins this series, Avalanche, Vegas will cruise past Montreal into the Stanley Cup Finals. And I mean, you tell me, the psychology of an athlete better than most. Did they just let down? Did they think, okay, we just got through the heavy lifting, we'll cruise past this, and then we'll, get ready for the Stanley Cup Finals? And then once you lose that edge, how difficult is it to get it back?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a fair point. I think it's a good point. You got your number one rival in the Avalanche, and you basically, you put it on them at the end. 4 straight wins, and they had the lead in all but one game, all 5 of 6 games. The Avs had the lead. It does take something out of you. I don't think there's any question. I will say this as an athlete, man, once you let down, once it's like, okay, relax, we've got this, man, I've never believed in the flip the switch mentality, I can just turn it back on. I think it's just a really hard thing to do once you let go, once you kind of exhale to get that back. So, yeah, I mean, they're up against it. They've proven that they can come up, the Knights have proven that they can come back from a deficit. So we'll see exactly what happens.
Yeah, I'm not counting them out at all yet, but I just wonder what would have happened had the Avalanche won their series against Vegas. Would they have let down, or would they have been energized by it and, really taking it to Montreal? I suspect it would have been more of the latter. I think the Avalanche would have been almost a sigh of relief, but not a sigh of relief let's let down. I think it'd be a sigh of relief. All right, now we're kind of past, you know, that second round hurdle that's been there for us. Now let's go, you know? So I think it would have been different for the Avs, but clearly it's a struggle for Vegas right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. How do the Canadians play? Do they play
I mean, they're not. They're stingy. They are not made up of stars. They're not a star-laden team. They're just a hard-working team. They're getting great goaltending from Carey Price, guy who, by the way, when I suggested last year that hey, maybe Philip Grubauer isn't the kind of goaltender that can win a Stanley Cup, you might want to think about going after Carey Price in a trade, and I was just shouted down by the Avalanche hockey experts out there who said, no, you don't know anything about hockey. And, well, you know, Carey Price is one win away from the Stanley Cup Finals. So, anyway, just saying.
Just an observation.
Just a general observation.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, I'm not really making some grand statement or anything like that. Yeah, just pointing something out.
Man, maybe you need a little, maybe a little lawn chair on I Told You So Island.
Could I at least maybe come visit for a little while? I don't need my own place.
Hey, swing by.
Swing by. Right. Let's see. That Phoenix Suns ending was NC State Lorenzo Charles style. Except that he was wide open. He just caught that long shot from Derek Wittenberg, huh? How about me dropping that one on you? And then dunking it home for the win. But that was a hard, well-designed but hard-to-execute type play that they executed absolutely perfectly. You can tell, though, by the Phoenix reaction that they were like, oh, yeah, this is you can tell this was a play they worked on, and they actually weren't that surprised. They're excited, but it was almost like they weren't that surprised by the result. And you know what helped them also, and it's this whole thing about now, you know, everything at the end of basketball games gets reviewed. I mean, if I see one more of these players, you know, putting up their hand and doing the little whirly bird thing above their head, you know, instant replay, go take a look at it. I mean, all it does is it gives these team extra timeouts. Phoenix didn't have a timeout, but because there was a review just before that, it allowed them to have a full, you know, because these reviews take longer than actual timeouts take. So they were able to really take their time and draw up a great play.
Yeah, they had that in baseball too now where the managers are shaking down the pitchers, right? Looking for that spider tack stuff.
You see your boy Scherzer last night?
I know. Scherzer's about ready to strip down. Mad Max went full naked on him. He could go straight homeless dude naked guy.
He started taking his belt off.
I know.
That was great. Some quick texts. 6 minutes in and you're already patting yourself on the back. Come on, Mikey. Hey, if you saw the grief I took from a serious hockey fan, you might take a victory lap or two yourself.
Yeah, if we don't pat ourselves on the back, nobody else.
Right, who else is?
Right.
You texters certainly aren't.
Yeah.
Right? Just looking for ways to take us down, cut us off at the knees. All right, coming up, I wrote a column. And there is apparently plenty of anti-George Payton sentiment out there, as I learned, and I'll share with you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
So I wrote a column at denverfan.com that dropped yesterday. Dropped the mic every week at denverfan.com presented by TNT Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. And it was, the gist of it was supporting George Payton's first offseason. And basically, the idea that if you liked Payton's offseason, you weren't bothered by him not drafting a quarterback. If you didn't like Payton's offseason, it kind of came down to, well, why didn't you draft a quarterback? So I just wonder, because I think by and large, Mark, most of the stuff we've heard has been, not unanimous, but I'd say pretty good majority of praise for George Payton. But I was very impressed by the response that I got from people on Twitter at MikeEvans1043. And I just wanted to share some of these with you and get your thoughts. This is from Aaron Bellevue. Anyone who says he inherited a bad team is a literal clown. Rainbow wig, red squeaky nose, makeup, etc. The Broncos have so much young talent that it doesn't even make sense. Injuries and bad QB play is the only thing holding this team back. Another one from our friend, I think it's Drew Blankenship. I'm not going to lie. It feels terrible unless the Broncos land Aaron freaking Rodgers. Listening to you guys discuss Teddy Two Gloves has not been inspirational. Another one, Teddy Bridgewater and Peyton blew it just like Elway and will continue to be a losing team. The fact he actively wanted and pursued Teddy Two Gloves shows just how clueless he is. What's your reaction to this? Do any of these complaints, criticisms, critiques make sense?
Oh, do they make sense? Yeah, I understand. I understand how people view the NFL. I mean, no matter how much truth you try to throw out there, and regardless of what you say, you'll never convince people that this team isn't deep. You'll never convince fans that this team doesn't have, you know, great players that can compete with the players in Kansas City, in L.A. You're just not going to convince them. Everybody thinks that it's 100% quarterback. It's like the one thing you said, injuries and quarterback. That's the only thing that is holding us back. And I understand the principle of having a quarterback and that quarterback, you know, leading your franchise. But I think the reason it doesn't work for me, Mike, is, and people talk about quarterbacks and they think that every guy is going to make an Aaron Rodgers-esque difference. You know, they look at Deshaun Watson. If all things being equal and he didn't have 23 lawsuits against him or whatever it was, he still went 4-12. And he had a great, Hall of Famer Larry Fitzgerald, future Hall of Famer, DeAndre Hopkins. I mean,
not Larry Fitzgerald. Not in Houston.
Oh, not in Houston. No. I'm sorry. I was thinking about DeAndre but he had DeAndre. Will Fuller. Yeah. And the bottom line to me, getting me back on track, because I mixed my teams up, but getting back on track, there's very few of those guys, Mike, that elevate everybody around you. Matthew Stafford goes to LA, the Rams. And, you know, I was on Colin Cowherd yesterday and like, that's an elite level quarterback. And I'm excited to see what he has when he's actually got a team around him that is committed to winning, that has the coaching to win, and the players. You know, I mean, he's never been on a team that was committed to running the football. All they did was say, hey, Matthew Stafford, go out and win for us. And, you know, what? In 11 years, how many winning seasons did he have? One? Two, maybe? So, again, it has to do, yes, we need a better quarterback. I understand that. But it still has to do with building your football team so that you're competitive at every position.
There was one more I wanted to read. And this comes from XTVX. Payton had exactly the draft I expected out of a career assistant manager. Risk averse to a fault, because that's this organization nowadays. Reward mediocrity. Payton is only here because the Broncos don't have an owner. Elway should have been kicked to the curb after the VJ firing. So apparently, if you just go out and make sound draft picks, by the way, filling holes that do exist.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if you say, well, Pat Surtain doesn't fill a need, yes, it does, because all the guys they have in the secondary are on 1- and 2-year deals. So of course it fills a need. and a very important need, especially when you're playing in a division that has you know who. So, but this notion that, you know, it was risk averse. But if you take a quarterback, that's bold.
Right.
That's exciting. Even though it's got a horrible track record right now of drafting quarterbacks. But doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You're supposed to just keep taking chances. I don't know if I want a GM that acts that way. I don't want a GM that's just rolling the dice. I mean, you got a guy who is, you hired this guy. And by the way, you didn't just hire a guy who was on nobody's radar. This is a guy who's been pursued by teams in the past and has had multiple opportunities to become a GM, and he's waited. This was the opportunity presented to him that he took. So this isn't some, you know, no-name, anonymous general manager. This is a guy highly regarded. He comes from a scout's background, and you're asking a guy who has a scout's background to do all of his study, all of his evaluation, and then pick somebody who he has evaluated, my guess is, far less than the guy he ended up taking.
Right.
Why'd you hire him in the first place then? Right.
Turn your back on all the work you did and just take a quarterback because they're available. Like, again, and I'm with you, Mike, that makes zero sense. Why would you not? We talk about it on this show all the time. Lean on your strengths, right? Try to mitigate your weaknesses. Understand what the two are. And if your strength is, man, I have been in the scouting community forever, and we've had a tried and true principle that we have adhered to in the places that I've been that has netted us more second contracts signed than any other team in football. Like, if you just look at that track record, Mike, just that track record alone makes it worthwhile, because I've got to believe that the Broncos are one of the worst teams in the NFL as far in under Elway's tenure as far as second contracts are concerned to draft picks.
Well, I got more. I'll share some more of those with you, some more critiques of Peyton, and then we'll let you respond as well on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Coming up next in the Morning Brew, forget about Frazier Ali. We've got a rematch, a heavyweight rematch that should have everybody talking. Tell you about it next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat like me, and you're going to crap thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
If I know this team correctly, the fight we have, you know, going into game three and the fight that we have to believe that, you know, we're going to change the series. That's who we've been, and that's who we are. And so I'm very confident in our group. And, you know, fact of the matter is they did what they were supposed to. They won their two games on their floor. We got to go home and protect our house.
Yeah, well, Paul George, part of the reason why Phoenix held serve on their home court winning both games without Chris Paul was because you choked. I know, you pro athletes always hate it when no-nothings.
I'm joking.
No-nothings like us say, oh, guy choked. Come on, Paul George, two free throws late in the game. 85% for his career. Could have given him a three-point lead. Choked! Flat out choked! And then a brilliantly designed inbounds play with 0.9 seconds left. Alley-oop to DeAndre Ayton at the rim. Phoenix beats the Clippers to go up 2-0.
Yeah, without Paul George, as brilliant as Paul George, but as brilliant as CP3 was in the Nuggets series, to not have CP3 and to hold serve at your home court, like, that's pretty remarkable, right? And we saw him, and we talked about going into that series that we got swept in about, oh, his shoulder's not quite right, you know, hopefully. And, I mean, look at what he was able to do and accomplish. How much confidence you have to have? One, Paul George choking, but how much confidence you have to have if you're Phoenix and you know eventually we're going to get CP3 back, and we've beaten this team twice without our point guard, without the guy who is the court general. Well, it's got to be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Clippers have done it twice now in a row, first team in NBA history to come back from 2-0 in their first two series. But I don't know. That's asking a lot to do it again. Phoenix seems to have some serious mojo going for them. Speaking of serious mojo, next on The Morning Brew.
A minute 10 to go. Toffoli cut it off. And one of the Vegas players went into the Canadiens' bench. Suzuki into the empty net. Scores! Nick Suzuki, arms in the air, puts this one to bed. It's 4-1, Montreal.
Les Habitants Radio. Man, oh man. Avalanche fan, how you feeling about Vegas getting shocked and fighting for their lives down 3-2 to an unheralded Montreal team that nobody thought would be capable of doing this? Do you feel good watching those dreaded Knights get embarrassed? Or do you feel bad because this makes losing to Vegas look even worse?
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably feel bad about it. I feel good. I don't like our rivals. I don't like our rivals to go on and win. Like, I don't feel good that Kansas City's been to back-to-back world championships. I feel good that they lost, but I don't feel good they've been to back-to-back world championships. I mean, that as, you know, as a Denver guy, as a Bronco, it's sickening, right? I don't ever root for anybody in our division to be well.
Montreal finished with 59 points. Of all the teams that made the playoffs this year, they had the least points. And they were doing it in that Canadian division, which isn't very good. So this was, I mean, if you're talking about 1 through 16, this was the 16th seeded team. And here they are, one win away from going to the Stanley Cup Finals. By the way, the last time they won the Stanley Cup, 1993. Patrick Waugh between the pipes, beating your old friend Barry Melrose behind the L.A. King bench.
Well, I will say this. I mean, it's not good, Mike. I mean, it's just not good.
Be a bad look.
But it does go to show you. You know, I mean, all the excitement we had over the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that whoop-de-doo, Basil.
How dare you?
That did not go well.
Next on The Morning Brew.
This ball's well hit to right, and C.J. Crone just tied it up. That's his fifth home run in a little more than a week. 1-1 ball game in Seattle.
AT&T Sportsnet, good job, C.J. Crone, just building your trade value for the eventual fire sale that'll be coming up before the end of July. The Rockies do what they do best. They go on the road and lose. Open up a road trip at Seattle. Fought valiantly, but lose 2-1, dropping their record to 5-28 on the road.
Yeah, I mean, they're a home team, Mike. It's all about coming home. It's all you can come home with. You can always go home. Yeah, they come home. They have a chance to win every home game. And you can go out there and, you know, have yourself a beer and enjoy the atmosphere and some peanuts, hot dogs smothered in my green chili or my queso dip. You know, you just go out there and enjoy yourself. Go out there and enjoy yourself. Just wait for them to come home. I didn't even flick on the Rockies last. Well, it started at 8:10 last night. So
good news, Kyle Freeland, 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, struck out 7. So maybe starting to get his legs under him a bit. Next on The Morning Brew.
How many times did he actually connect?
Probably like, if you guys...
It looked like the last one was
the only one, huh? That's what I was going to say.
But, I mean, he was swinging on you a couple times. I don't know what it was.
You know what I'm saying? He's hitting my arms, my shoulders,
okay.
And like, those don't, you know what I'm saying? Those
yeah.
Don't phase nobody. Yeah. Same thing. Demolish me. Barstool said he demolished me. Yeah. Or, no, he did not demolish me.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so by now you've seen the video. It's gone viral.
Right.
During the Suns-Nuggets series, the Suns in 4 guy who put a whooping on a couple of Nugget fans, particularly one guy. Well, that guy wants a rematch. Guy wants a rematch because, you know what? If I was embarrassed...
I broke my back.
If I was embarrassed like that...
Spinal.
and hundreds of thousands of people have seen the video of me getting punked like that, I probably would be trying whatever I could to save face as well. Mark.
You just got, you know what? Sometimes you just got to take your arse whooping and you got to go home.
Mark, if these two fought again, like pay-per-view style, would you pay to watch?
Yeah, I mean, how much? Yeah, I mean, Sons and Four Guy is a badass. Sons and Four Guy, they got dolls. They've created dolls on that guy and everything else. I mean, it looked as though he was enjoying the game, talking a little bit of trash, and somebody tried to get after him, and he took matters in his own hands.
Yeah, and he was very nonchalant about dishing out this arse whooping. He really didn't put a whole lot of effort into it.
No, I don't know who you are.
Yeah, he kind of.
I don't know what you want.
Yeah, he kind of has a particular set of skills.
For a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money, but what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
Yeah, he definitely has
acquired acquired over a very long career.
Yeah,
skills.
dude wants a rematch. Dude's like, you didn't really get many shots in on.
Yeah, you get it.
You stumbled out of there. You were all but grabbing for the invisible rope.
We'll find you.
All right.
And I will kill you.
He had a big old gash over his nose.
Yeah.
He's like, no, he scratched me. He never connected. Dude, what I saw was one dude. He just got thunder punched on multiple occasions, and his buddy had to drag him out of there. Oh, Lord.
All right. So, dude wants a rematch. I only want to go the distance. Nobody's ever gone the distance with Sons and Four Guys.
Yeah.
I just want to go the distance. All right. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Up next, is Aaron Rodgers really prepared to forfeit the kind of cash it would take to sit out? That's next. So this text came in on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, from Gary in Mead.
Uh-huh.
You guys need to find new topics. Rodgers is never coming here. Well,
you done messed up, A-Ron!
Maybe a little bit of support here for Gary's take. So here's what Rodgers is facing. If the Packers decide to really dig in, call his bluff, if you will. Okay? He's under contract for 3 more seasons. If he holds out a training camp, it's a mandatory fine of $50,000 per day that can't be waived by the team. If he retires, Rodgers would forego $65 million in salary, could potentially have to pay back $23 million in signing bonus, plus a $7 million roster bonus he earned in March. Now, the trade, if it happens, sure, the Packers, you know, would be able to spread out or roll over some of the cap space. But in reading this article that laid out what's at stake here, the final conclusion was most likely scenario, Rodgers quietly returns. Packers give him a pay increase for 2021. If Rodgers gets his way, he gets a full guarantee for 2022. But if it's just a pay raise for this season, then the writing is on the wall that Rodgers won't be a Packer next season or the season after. But that he would be for this year. What about it? Well, all I've heard throughout all this, Aaron Rodgers is a man of conviction. Aaron Rodgers has made his money. Aaron Rodgers has plenty of things outside of football that he's interested in. And he would be prepared to sit out to prove his point. It's a lot of money, Mark, when you start looking at the real dollars. Giving up $65 million. Having to pay back some 20-plus million? Actually, it'd be close to $30 million that you have to pay back. So what about it? Do the Packers still hold all the cards? And if they decide to play hardball, Aaron would crawl back to him.
F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
I There are so many things that, like, from a tea leaf perspective that look like, you know, it's just, if you're just reading it, if you're just following the money trail, Mike, there are so many things that look as though, yes, they hold the cards. They're going to make him, they're going to force him to come back. I don't know that you can force Aaron Rodgers. And oh, by the way, he wanted a new 5-year deal or whatever it was, right? He wanted to tap back into the market after Dak Prescott got paid. Rightfully so. You just won the MVP. And my understanding is you were told that, we're going to negotiate a deal. And when that deal became, hey, let's just manipulate the money and move it around for 2 years, but we don't have any intention of keeping you for longer than that. That's kind of the final straw that broke the camel's back. So to me, if you can forego that money, if you're going to sign a 5-year deal with somebody else, because you'll make it all back and then some. So, you know, everybody sits there and says, well, he's going to let go of all this money. Is he? You don't think that even if they make him sit out, if they're that petty and they make him sit out next year, you think he's got the ability next year to sign a big time contract?
Good point.
And make every penny back?
Plus more?
Of course he does. Just based on last year. So, I mean, we can sit there and say, hey, listen, there's no way he can come. There's no way this, like, these conversations have happened. It's not like they weren't having conversations. It's not like they weren't, you know, they weren't planning or they weren't gauging interest on moving him. So say what you want, you know, I mean, you know, say whatever you want, but, I think most people in the NFL, most people in the business would all be shocked if he comes back and plays for Green Bay.
Plus, it just doesn't make sense for Green Bay to dig in and just be prepared to have Rodgers sit out for the entire season, just to see who blinks first, because you've already signaled your intent that you are preparing for life after Rodgers when you drafted Jordan Love. Now, even if Jordan Love isn't living up to the expectations you had, you still tipped your hand that you were already thinking about life after Rodgers. And that was with the idea that you might just, you know, move on from Rodgers and hand it over to Love without any real compensation coming back the other way. Now you got a chance to get a haul in return for Rodgers. You want to wait? Now, hey, there's no doubt. Dak Prescott was hurt. Missed a year, his value didn't go down at all. Deshaun Watson, assuming he's cleared, he could sit out a season. Houston could squat on him. And guess what? A year from now, his value would still be just as high because he's only 25, 26. Rodgers, you know, he sits out a year. Green Bay allows him to sit out a year. You think you're going to get the same value a year from now for a year old or what, 30, at that point, 38? Year old quarterback who hasn't played in a year, you think you're going to get the same haul that you would now? No. So I'm with you. I just don't think it makes sense for Green Bay. Look, if you're Green Bay, spend the next month, heck, spend 2 months building your public smear campaign against Aaron Rodgers so that when you ultimately trade him, you'll have plenty of Packer fans on your side saying, well, screw you, Aaron Rodgers, if you don't want to be here.
Stop it, A-Ron!
Fine, do that for the next month or two. But the idea of sitting on him for the entire season just doesn't make sense.
It reminds me of I played in this charity flag football game. It was like All-Star Packers versus the rest of the National Football League. And so we pull up and we did it in Milwaukee at camp. Was it Camp Randall where the Wisconsin Badgers play, right?
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, so we do it in the stadium. So we pull up, there's a bus, and there's all kinds of fans. And obviously, it's Brett Favre returns to quarterback the Packers, right? To quarterback the Packers legends versus NFL legends type of thing in this kind of celebrity flag football game. And as we pull up, there's a huge sign out there that says, thanks for all the memories. We'll never forget you, Brent. And so it was just funny because, you know, we were laughing. I was giving Favre grief about it, but we were laughing about it just because that's exactly the way it is, right? You just go, forget him. That guy disrespected our football team. We're moving on. And that's kind of the feeling I get. Like, hey, we just can't make it look like we're eager beavers to move Aaron Rodgers after he won an MVP. We got to dig our heels in and fight and beg and try to win the court of public opinion before we move the guy.
Well, speaking of that guy, the Fan Store is at it again. Check out the new Complicated Fella limited edition T-shirt in both Denver and Green Bay colors, available now at denverfan.com/store. Coming up, will Bradley Chubb be better another year removed from his ACL injury? A major publication thinks so. Tell you about it next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.